With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it's the Post-Match Show. It's John Gibbons hosting. After Liverpool beat Sheffield United 2-1 in the Premier League, I'm joined by Lizzie Doyle, by Phil Blunder, and to Dan Austin. I'll go to you, Dan. I mean, they had to graft for it, but they got there in the end.
They made me feel alive. and I've been doing loads of that this season. Loads of the games have been bananas. But, you know, when loads of other things are bleak, them making me feel alive is all I really want. And, you know, Man City have played a game today where they didn't play really well, very well. Liverpool didn't play very well for the majority of that tonight. They had some really good passages of play. But Liverpool have got the quality in the big moments and also the determination of character in order to be able to say, we are just going to win this game by hook or by crook, even though the opposition's playing really well. We will just make this happen. And that's just really reassuring for the rest of the season, because I think that will happen. You know, there'll be those same match days again where Liverpool push on across the line that maybe City can't. And if that happens five or six more times between now and May or whenever the season ends, then you're boxed off with another title. So I think overall the whole day has been really, really reassuring for Liverpool. I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, they've been both excellent and appalling this season, Phil, and where again today. It's a funny time to be a football fan generally, but, you know, very much a Liverpool fan. They showed loads of great stuff today, but loads of stuff they were like, what the fuck are you doing, lad?
Yeah, I think today is just in general, not even specific to Liverpool, has been a really good example of why this season's going to be a bit mad. You had Liverpool and Manchester City playing two teams who've not played in midweek and had the week off, and in this season when it's hectic, that's such an advantage for them. You then have Manchester United and Chelsea who played each other, and that was a slog, that was a grind, that wasn't much fun at all. So teams are coming into these three games in what, 7-8 days, and it's hard, and that's what it's going to be this season, and it's what we're experiencing. So I sort of think, and I've said this a few times, that we need to just basically not necessarily hang in there, but just grind things out until the Premier League goes twice a week. And once the Premier League goes twice a week, I really think we'll be able to step up, because we aren't playing Ollie McBurney, who's had a week off and he's able to win. I think he's won about 15 headers there tonight, and that makes life so difficult when you're playing against a man who will, his team can just hang the ball up, he can win a header, and he's moved them 30, 40 yards up the pitch. It's a real problem. I thought he was a general problem, and I thought we've defended reasonably well, because I don't think they haven't created that much. I don't think they looked dangerous at times without ever really making you think they were about to score, without sort of ever felt like you got away with something in terms of a really bad miss or a great save from a keeper or an amazing bit of defending. There was all that, but it wasn't like happening with great regularity. So yeah, ultimately it was just a grind, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit of a grind down. You know, the conditions aren't great, you've got to say. You know, you've got to, you know, put things in context of what's going on. And it's rained all day in Liverpool. You know, it rained for a lot of the first half, and you could see that in the pitch. And Liverpool, I thought, at the start of the game, struggled to sort of come to terms with that, really. You know, you saw a lot of the passes that they were trying to play sort of, you know, sit in the ground a little bit, and seemed to be Liverpool more than Sheffield United. They were struggling with the conditions early.
I think the pitch thing is maybe right. There was that ball around the side to Mane, wasn't there, where he tried to play it across to Salah within about the first 2 minutes, and it looked for all the world like Salah was going to slide in and finish it, but the defender was able to clear it because it did slow up, because the pitch was playing a bit slow. And Sheffield United don't necessarily have to deal with that as much, because a lot of their game is playing the ball up to McBurney, and it's not just punting it, it's not Allardyce Bolton Wanderers just hitting hope. It's a valid tactic, because they can play off him and he's really good at it and they're technically quite good. So if they're playing, you know, not really looking to play through balls, then that's fine. I thought Liverpool had a really good 6-7 minutes at the beginning, because they scored 2 or 3 goals for Liverpool, and then they went terrible until about 41-42 whenever the goal went in. That was the frustrating thing was for me, was that it felt like they'd had the good start, Yeah. So they'd sort of done the hard bit and then just slipped into this pattern of letting Sheffield United move up the pitch a bit more. And it's always going to be difficult to get past the back five, because it was a back five, not a back three, and that's understandable from them. But I think that we just allowed them to get a foothold in it in a way that we didn't really have to. We slowed up and we got a little bit sloppy. I think I understood the logic of the midfield too, because they haven't got loads of presence in midfield and they'll look to cut it out quite a bit. But they were on top of Henderson and Wijnaldum really quickly, really snappily. And I think we missed a third person in the first half for vast periods, because there was never just really an easy pass for Henderson or Wijnaldum. It was always they had to turn sharp and bounce it into Salah or bounce it into Jota or whoever else. And it looked like they spent a while adjusting to being a front four as well. I think especially Jota and Firmino didn't really look like they knew what they were meant to be doing. They were popping up in all kinds of places that just felt like it was desperation to get on the ball. Which you know, is fine, because it ends up working out all right, and they've had about 80 minutes or something together where they've all played as a four, if that's going to be something that we continue with from time to time. So you can have that kind of game where you're playing a different system, you're playing against an opposition that's got a bit of a mad system that you're not really going to face again until you play them in the away game. You've just got to be able to react to it, and getting the goal before half time was absolutely crucial, because I think if you go in 1-0 down and they've got a really easy half-time team talk and they've got a really easy plan that they're just going to come out and do the same thing in the second half, then it's suddenly difficult. But it turned the tide of the game. The first 10-15 of the second half, Liverpool were very good again, and although that's not where the game was won, that felt like the turning point, where it was like I feel like everybody just sort of accepted Liverpool are probably going to win this.
Lizzie, what do you think it was that Liverpool were struggling with during the game, and what do you think it was that meant Liverpool were able to come out of it with a win?
I think Dan's right about the extra person in midfield, really. And I think just naturally it's changing up a system which they're not used to playing, which they might only have played the odd now and then for a couple of minutes with substitutions, you know, starting from the off. And Firmino's playing a different position, and Salah was sort of the one, wasn't he, to begin with, and Jota was on the right, obviously Mane stayed on the left, but I think that's what it was. And I think also because Sheffield played quite well, yeah. I think Sheffield played well. I don't think they had a ton of chances at first half. I mean, Dan said it a lot, Jordan Hot Mike, about that McGoldrick when he come on and he felt like friggin' Arsh Avon or something like that, you said, didn't you? And
he hasn't scored a goal since 1999 and I was terrified of him,
honestly. But like, I think it just took a bit of time to get used to, and I think also they've done quite well not to panic, because that we've seen that before sometimes when they've leaked a goal and then there's like a bit of a state of panic, and I think that they didn't do that. I think they understood that the foul was stupid, and it was a one-off mistake, even though I did feel at times we were a bit, for want of a better phrase, all over the place. It didn't really feel like it was hanging in danger, if that makes sense. So I don't know, I just feel like they've learned a lot from the last couple of matches.
What do you make of the goal? Well, more the incidents around the first goal, Phil. Sheffield United, I'm talking about. There's a little bit of talk around the penalty. Was it? Wasn't it? He gives the foul, and then there's the talk around the line. Apparently, the VAR only looks at the line rather than the actual tackle itself. So there's some debate over that. We do have to come clean. Like I think many people, we were watching it on a stream, so that the picture quality wasn't incredible. It was fine in terms of, you know, most things, but you know, so you might disagree with us, you know, because of, you know, maybe you had a better screen than us. But what did you make of the whole process around it?
To be honest, I thought it was a foul, and then as soon as I saw the first replay, I was a bit concerned because it looked like it was on the line to me. And on the line, it's in the box. So as soon as he's given the foul, which I thought it was a foul, to be perfectly honest, I think he's gone through him to get the ball, and he probably does make contact with the ball, but to touch the ball, he has to foul him. So I was genuinely surprised when I went on Twitter or in WhatsApp groups or whatever and saw people up in arms almost that it was a foul, because I was genuinely just saw the foul and went, yep, that's a foul. And then I saw the replay, and I was like, that's shit, a penalty as well.
Exactly. We thought the same. You just sort of assume when you see it in real time, it's clearly outside the box. And then the first replay, it's like, oh, fucking hell, he might give this before the VAR check had even come on. I think the reaction to it's really interesting, because I thought the same. I went off the hot mic then for you and had a look, and people were saying that it weren't a penalty either because it weren't a foul or it weren't in the box. And I was really surprised. And I think that, you know, people can have whatever view on it they want, but I don't think people are crying about it as much if last week hadn't happened against Everton.
Do you think there's a misunderstanding over what the line means?
I
actually had someone tell me that's on the line, it's not a penalty. Well, you're saying it's on the line, you think
exactly,
it's a penalty.
Exactly, you just don't know the rule. I think that that's part of it, but also I think people are just in a pattern of kicking off on them. And I totally understand why last week was absolutely ludicrous. It was factually onside. it's an astonishing decision that it was given, but it doesn't help to then just kick off about the next thing when it was a penalty. Like as you said, Dave, he might get a foot on the ball, but he has to touch the man first to get a foot on the ball. So I totally understand people's anger about it, and I think also when you're forced to watch the game at home. And certainly people in Liverpool, a lot of them are going to be watching it on their own or just with the family or whatever. Your emotions are heightened, and especially in the times we live in, everyone's got a lot of anger bubbling under the surface. So I'm certainly not like having a go at anyone for being angry about it or whatever. But I think that I do think that objectively it was a penalty, and my issue with it was that it was a needless penalty. Yeah. It's a terrible attempt at a clearance for a start, and then he tries to right the wrong by making a ludicrous tackle. But again, we talked about it on the thing before. Every time I've seen Fabinho play for Liverpool prior to tonight, of course he was impeccable at centre-half. Like, people were worried about him going to Chelsea, but the game that he played against Bayern with Matip, Lewandowski didn't get a sniff, and he's been probably the best player in the world maybe since then, hasn't he? He was really good at Chelsea, he was great in midweek against Ajax, but tonight in that moment you saw that he was a centre-mid playing centre-back, because usually he would make that tackle and it wouldn't be an issue because it's
10
a foul
yards further up the pitch.
The line is the halfway line,
and
that's
also
where he makes the foul.
Gomez or Van Dijk wouldn't have made that challenge.
Exactly, it's a midfielder's challenge when he hasn't quite adjusted to being in that area of the pitch. And I made the comparison before with the goal that we conceded, the first one against Villa Park, was because Andy Robertson, partly because Andy Robertson hadn't quite adjusted to it being Adrian, because he's playing on instinct, and he bounces this ball back into Adrian that then gives Adrian time to think and panic and fuck up. Whereas if he'd have known that was Adrian, he never would have done it. If Fabinho was in the rhythm of playing as a centre back, he wouldn't have made that challenge. So I'm glad that I'm sort of glad that it's out, like he's done that now, and he's able to now think consciously, right, I need to not think like a midfielder anymore, because he will learn from it, and Liverpool have got away from it all right because they've ended up winning the game.
I think, Lizzie, you've got to say that, you know, I agree with everything that Dan's just said around Fabinho and around a bit of naivety, I think, in that incident. I think what it is worth saying, I think, and feel free to disagree, but both centre-halves again come out of it with more positives than negatives. And I was laughing with Phil, we're in a fantasy league where it's a bit more of an American one. It's all about, you know, it's not just goals and assists, it's about like kind of what you do. And I forgot to put Gomez in because we were doing the hot mic on the one before, and I was just laughing at his numbers going like, just because, like, you know, he's through the roof on everything. Like, Gomez again, unreal. Like, and he had a tough time tonight against like everything that they threw at them, but you know. And then even like Fabinho as well, like, grew throughout the game. And I think, like, you know, they've conceded one goal in two games, those two boys now, and fair play to them.
Yeah, especially centre half. I thought Gomez was fantastic. And I know it's an early shout, like, but I think it's a fair one to say he's arguably a man of the match there tonight. I think Gomez, he played that well.
Some big headers.
Yeah, and I don't think, I think you're spot on about it being more positives than negatives, because people will come away probably saying Fabinho was the weaker centre-half, but actually it's not a negative. Yeah, okay, factually he was, but he didn't play badly. And I think what was interesting tonight is that Sheffield seemed to be like they played on Fabinho second half, didn't they? And this is the thing, it's like everyone is usually attacking Gomez, because other than that you're trying to get through Virgil van Dijk and there's just no point, is there? So they did target Fabinho, and I thought that he dealt with it quite well, and like I felt like he did learn his lesson. And okay, they did get in a couple of times and stuff, but you know, it's not a bad thing for Fabinho. I mean, he literally is playing a completely different position, and he done well the other night. And to be honest, like I trust him now in that position, and I think he will make the odd mistake. Let's just hope they don't all lead to goals like that did tonight. But I think, like Dan said, he's made that mistake tonight, and it'll be etched on his brain. It'll be like he'll know that he can't do that around that area again. So I look at that, and it's funny actually, because I've just said Virgil van Dijk, and I went, oh my God, Jerry's out. Like, I've sort of not forgot about it, but when you're watching it and you're consumed and stuff and you're studying them so well, like, you're studying them so much, and that, so we watched Ajax and we watched that tonight, and it's not that we don't miss them. I don't mean that at all. That's like a really big statement. I felt comfortable. Right, wasn't panicked at all tonight. Wasn't panicked.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely fair. And I think, you know, you need to remember sometimes that there's other good footballers at this club, and they're all capable of doing good things. Speaking of which, the equaliser, Dan, it was a nice goal, particularly the ball from Jordan Henderson, who again I thought was great tonight. I thought he led the team really well, and it's a lovely cross for him to create that goal for eventually Firmino.
Yeah, it was. And well, I mean, in general, crossing the ball into the box against Sheffield United is not a good idea, because they play five at the back, one goes to the ball, it ends up being a back four in the box. I think we did do a little bit too much crossing at times. But if you get one right, they're not that quick, basically. And I'm always a fan of Sadio Mane heading the ball. And, you know, we'll talk about the Jota goal in a bit. But I really like that we've got these nimble little lads that are really good at doing big headers, because defenders essentially forget that they're good at it, because they've got to worry about them doing so many other things. I know that Mane's not the one that scores the goal, but he's a crucial part of it because of his movement. You know, he scored the goal against Chelsea, where he ends up just nodding one in from about 4 or 5 yards out, and it looks a piece of piss. But it's great movement to get away from defenders that have got no clue where he is. And I really think that Mane is the best header of a ball, like, whose game's not built around it, if you know what I mean. Yeah. So, like, Giroud's better at him than heading the ball, but that's Giroud's main thing. We talk about, you know, Mane's skill at cutting inside, or technique on a ball, or he can shoot, or he's fast, or whatever. He's brilliant at stealing a yard and suddenly having a free header in the box, and it's not coincidence that their defenders want the ball to get crossed in the box so they can just nod it away. And he's got away from them and had a completely free header. There was another one as well before that where it went over, I think, Egan's head, and it just sort of bounced off Mane to Firmino, and he would have been offside anyway. But it was another really good chance, because he's able to just steal that yard, and it ends up being a really easy goal for Firmino that feels really big, because in the matches before, I mean, not Villa, but in the other games, he was still doing good things, but looked a million miles from scoring a goal. He was just no threat in any of the games. So to just get an easy one, I think we'll do him the world of good. And you know, he doesn't have to score 15 in the league between now and the end of the season if he just gets 9. But they're a really important 9, as the one was tonight. Then absolutely sound fella, as long as you're up on the other two as well. So hopefully, akin to Gomez, basically, hopefully the players, but also supporters, calm down about them a bit and remember that they're extremely fucking good at football and have got us to the position that we're in. Because I think, you know, they both were terrible. Villa Park and all that, and I'm not saying that people shouldn't have criticised them, but it was getting to the point where, like, you know, give them a break, and hopefully both of them, you know, doing good things tonight means that everyone is just sort of like, we'll be all right here. And certainly the players themselves, because I think they both needed it. And in the grand scheme of things, the big moments that have ended up happening, I think you wouldn't shift any of the players around. It's almost, despite the fact that it was nearly at the end and it was graft for 90 minutes, So there are so many good stories and good confidence boosts that come from it, and that goal is a perfect example.
Yeah, Firmino is notably better after he scores, I think, Phil. And I think second half, you know, when he comes out, he's just moving a lot more confidently. He's popping his passes off better. And I thought he seemed to, even though, as Dan says, it's a sitter, you know, it's an off and goal, really, isn't it? But it seems to just do a lot for him.
It was a type of goal you almost want to see him score, though, just sort of between the goalposts, 6 yards out, because it's almost the kind of goal Liverpool don't score, a centre forward, just tapping the ball. And there's people arrive at back posts. I think Kiva wrote a piece in The Athletic today or yesterday with James Pearce about the thing called the Salah zone. And he basically scores all of his goals sort of between the 6 yard box and the 18 yard box, and that's just part of who he is. There isn't sort of someone who'll poach that goal for us, and it's not an area we lack in or anything like that, but it's nice that every now and then someone is there to do that. And it was basically just right place, right time, because there's no defender could sort that out. I mean, in the build-up to the goal, I was watching Henderson line up the cross, and I was like, as sort of what Dan was saying before, don't cross the ball with it's playing into their hands. Don't do it, find a pass, and then 2 seconds later they made you look stupid because we've scored as a result of a cross.
And the second one is a header as well.
Exactly, yeah.
By the smallest fella on the pitch. Yeah. Is Tatty smaller than Manny, isn't he?
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great header. It gets up high too.
It's not what you're expecting, is it, Lizzie, in terms of, you know, how he's going to impact the game?
No, I mean, God, honestly, if I thought Jota was scored, and I did not think it was going to be from a header. And I think actually, and again, this is, this is slight criticism, but I'm not doing the lad down. I think he went a bit missing first half, if I'm being honest. I felt like...
Lizzie, I'll jump in. Do you think he's still a little bit, oh, fucking hell, I'm playing for Liverpool, I'm playing with these boys? Because I feel like that a little bit with him. Like, and I'm not worried about it because I think it'll pass, do you know what I mean? But he still feels a little bit to me like it's a bit new lad, really.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think it is. I think it's new lad. I think he's not had a lot of game time, really. The only game he started, am I right, was it Villa? Or did he start for Arsenal in the League Cup as well? I can't remember.
Oh, Christ knows. But
yeah, I think he started
against Villa, didn't he, for Mane, because Mane had the coronavirus. And I think for me, with Jota, it's the new lad thing, but also I think probably goes back to a little bit of muscle memory from Wolves, is that he wasn't an out-and-out starter at Wolves either. He was quite impact for Wolves, and I think we've seen him come on and be impactful for Liverpool. So from the off, he probably, again, this is just, I'm just thinking of a theory. It might be harder for him to, at the moment, to get into it right from the off, from the first minute. I don't know. But I think he's not the only one. I think like you said, until Firmino scored, I think he was a little bit off it as well, but not necessarily, they weren't playing badly. I just felt like they didn't really know where they were meant to be as such, and I didn't. And but I think after they both scored, like, they really picked up the game, and that's the thing. It's a whole new system. They're playing with a different player. They've played 4-3-3 in that that sort of system with the fullbacks supplying Salah and Mane, that they've switched it up. They've struggled a little bit, but they've got through it. They got the goals, and hopefully it works well another time.
Yeah. We went 2-1 down, obviously hoping for the third to kill it, and it doesn't quite happen. There's a couple of times where Salah hits the post and he's incredibly unlucky, you know. And he thought the play from Liverpool was good, and they were doing everything they should have, but they couldn't quite force it. And then we had to sort of hang on a little bit. And I don't know, you don't know how to, whether to praise them or to be harsh on them sometimes, because you're like, why are you putting us through this? But then they did get us through it at the same time. Where are you with it?
I'm going to credit them for it.
It's right.
First of all, I think it's important that we mentioned the Salah goal, the disallowed. Fuck me, it was brilliant.
What a touch and finish.
The touch and the flick.
That was a one-all.
And the one that hit the post as well.
Yeah, but he should have scored that one in the end. But the other one is like sort of not his fault. It's, you know, it's a decent line and he does all of the brilliant things, and he's just bang on it, isn't he, this year? Even in games where he's not necessarily playing that well, he comes away with 2 at Villa Park because he just sticks it in the net as soon as he gets a sniff. And I just fucking love the fella. He's fantastic to watch. But yes, when they then had to do the defending, it's easy for a side to buckle. Really easy, especially when, you know, you can be defending against any team at 2-1, but especially a team like that who... you know, they were well better once they brought Ollie Burke on instead of Brewster. He gave them someone who would run between the lines. He was splitting a centre-back and a full-back. He was running onto knockdowns from McBurney. They would do a much better team at that point, going forward anyway. So there was loads of genuine threat. It wasn't just like, oh, it's 2-1 panic stations. It was, no, these are a good team that are capable of making something happen here. But they didn't have a proper chance. There were some shots from the edge of the area that got blocked. A couple had just drifted wide. There was a decent effort from a Goldrick that went just over the bar, but the keeper had it covered anyway. So they were doing fairly good things, but they were never actually a serious threat to Liverpool. Yep. If you were watching that and weren't a Liverpool supporter, you wouldn't have been panicked. The fact that we're emotionally invested in it is what makes us feel, you know, on edge and everything like that. They actually handled it really, really well. And I thought that the subs that came on did well. You know, Milner just made it a bit more scrappy in midfield, and it meant that they weren't able to just miss the midfield out as much as they were doing before. And I thought Minamino was helping us break a little bit as well and still be, you know, we weren't making chances going forward, but we were pinning them back when they were trying to come forward. So I think tactically he made good switches, because I think maybe the, in hindsight, the 4-2-3-1 maybe weren't the best idea, but I don't blame him for trying it. And I just think that they managed it really well. And as I mentioned it before, but City have had a similar game today and haven't got away with it. Weren't able to even have the chance to defend.
Equalised and then go on to it.
Equalised and couldn't do anything more than that. So I'm certainly not going to criticise them for having to dig in at the end and not being able to put 3-4 past the team that's 19th, because Man City, who are our nearest rivals, mm-hmm. second best team in the country, one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the world, were not able to do the same job today. And all you've got to do is be better at those jobs than the teams around you. So by beating Liverpool, by beating Sheffield United 2-1 today, Liverpool have been better than the team that will challenge them for the title, and you can't realistically ask more from them than that. You can't criticise them for you know, very calmly, actually, because we were all panicked, but they weren't, very calmly defending a 2-1 lead.
It's all context, isn't it? I think that's what we all need to remember, is that, like, this is a completely different kettle of fish this season. It's completely different. We'd already wrapped the league up by the time it came around to Project Restart. Like, they're dealing with a completely different type of season with no fans and the amount of games and what's being asked of them, and, you know, people being out with coronavirus and the injuries. Like, we've seen a couple of hamstring injuries today. Like, this is completely different. Like, no team is going to be blowing teams away every single game. You will get the odd Aston Villa Liverpool game, the one where Man United get beat 6-1, but I think, like, we've seen how mad these results are, and, like, let's just remember it's all about points on the board, not how they play. Like, get the points on the board, it's going to be a mad season. Like, that's the most important thing.
The context is important as well. Like you just mentioned there, it's a good point, because we're not there putting a shit up Aaron Ramsdale when balls are coming into the box, us four and everyone else that would have been in the cop. And Chris Basham just gets to nod everything away under no pressure. It's like, it's literally an easy yes.
Don't have to listen to the smart ass on row 3 when they take a throw in either,
but it's literally an easier sensory experience for that team. It's less intense. Liverpool can play with the same intensity as what they did when they beat them last season, but there's something else that's loads easier. So it's easier for them to stop Liverpool because of that. And it is easier for us to get, because, you know, for us, yes, we're not there, but the vast majority of Liverpool fans who are watching it tonight would have just been watching it anyway, so it doesn't necessarily feel that different. But to the 22 people that are on the pitch at any given moment, it's a massive change. So the fact that Liverpool are able to grind the result out without us screaming at them like lunatics for 90 minutes, like we would have been last season when they beat Tottenham 2-1, or like an away end would have been when they beat Crystal Palace 2-1 and didn't play well at all, that is learned experience from last year that they're now able to repeat without the benefit of us, and we are more of a benefit than the vast majority of football teams in this league, supporter sets are.
Oh, very fair. I'll finish on you, Phil. We're now 13 points from 6 games, which is good in terms of a return. It's not where we were last year, obviously, which was 18, which was beautiful, and it's not quite, I think, where we maybe would have wanted to be when all lasted the start, but it's still a good return. We're second in the table. We won our first game in the Champions League. We're handily placed for everything we want to be, aren't we?
Yeah. I think you've also got to take into consideration that it's not going to take 95, 100 points to win this year. So being a little bit worse off isn't a particularly bad thing, especially in the conditions as well, as I was saying about before, about the 2 games a week and whatnot. It's a good start. It is a good start, because I don't think the fixtures we've had are particularly easy either. I think it's going to become...
Well, before kick-off today, we played all of the top three.
Yeah, exactly. Everton away, difficult. I think Villa away by the end of the season. I know Leeds have gone there and taken them to pieces last night, but I wouldn't shock me if Villa finished top half from what I've seen of them so far. Chelsea away is obviously a hard game. Arsenal away is obviously a hard game. Leeds at home is also a particularly difficult game. So if you'd have been handpicking the season and say, I'd like to get these 6 games off the start, I don't think you'd have picked 5 of the 6 that we've had. You'd have probably gone Sheffield United at home, that's all right. And it, obviously that even that wasn't from a 90 minutes.
Are we almost matching points from last year, aren't we, as well?
from the same games.
Yeah,
it's just the Villa one.
It's the Villa one, well, minus three for the Villa one.
By Watford, you can call them pretty much the same.
Yeah, that's, right? That's a decent show, actually. That's fair.
You're allowed, so what about Par still? With a load of panic as well.
Exactly. There's a thing where you've sort of got to take into consideration. You can have an off day, but the problem if you have an off day in the first three or four games of a season, it creates panic because.
Do you think if you play badly, help with Everton because it's Everton?
No, absolutely not. But if you play four games and you play really badly in one of them, that's 25% of the games you've been bad. Do you know whereas if you have one game out of 15 that's bad, it's a lot less.
Do you know what's funny to me, Dan? And I know I said I was going to finish, but I was thinking about this today. Was like when people say about Man City and like, oh, it's not a real rivalry, and there's all this debate about a real rivalry. It shows it fucking isn't, because it's only took Everton winning four games for me to fucking lose me fucking shit. All of them, honestly, Man City fans, like, you know, honestly, was like, oh, is it a rivalry? Is it? Do you know what I mean? I don't know. We threw some bottles at their bus. And we I'll be sure not.
You know, we lash some bottles at the bus.
I know, but like, you know.
Not like Everton setting fire to one another.
There's not like Everton being top of the league to make you feel what a real fun rivalry is.
I know. I spoke at the top of the show about feeling alive because Liverpool are crackers, but there's not unlike Everton deciding the good. And they've got a forward who's better than Prime Ronaldo as well. For me to suddenly go, I'm not fucking having this. We were doing the commentary before. Liverpool have just beat Sheffield United 2-1, and Neil ends it on imploring Southampton to beat them blue cunts. And like in a normal season, that doesn't happen, does it? And you know, in the pretty much all of my lifetime, they've been dog shit. And I'm sure that by November they'll be about 7th or 8th again. But I am perversely like into the fact that they're good right now, because it is the real rivalry. Like, you know, again, a lot of people listening to this will just think of United when you think of Liverpool rivals. That's the main one. But all of us from Liverpool, it's Everton, and you don't get to anyone else like in the same stratosphere. So for it to actually, like, even only after four or five games, for it to actually feel like it matters in a sport and sense for once, does drive you a bit mad, doesn't it? And you sort of operate on this different level. So yeah, it's weird paying attention to their fixtures, but while life's mad, I'm very much into it.
Life's mad. Listen, it's back to the 80s. The Tories are cunts. Liverpool. Liverpool.
That's not like time specific though.
Liverpool are firing back, and it's Liverpool v Everton at the top of the league. Let's all hope for the result tomorrow. And in the meantime, thanks to Dan Austin, to Phil Blundell, and to Lizzie Dill. Off the fucking Reds for a night. Sports Social Podcast Network.